If you love donuts and Taco Tuesday is always on the calendar, welcome to the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, it's a weekly regimen.
The gym.
Everyone at the gym knows you haven't been there in a decade because they're on their Nike high-tech gear. You show up in jeans and leg warmers.
It's time to tune your body.
We're going to do 85 push-ups.
To shape up so you don't have to ship out.
Now use your abs to keep your toes, knees, and hips facing the floor.
Put your life in motion and survive with the fittest.
Thomas Jefferson said, revolution can start in the muscle.
This is A Good Fit with Ted Geiss.
Hey, yeah, you can train it here.
Empowering you to be all that you can be.
Push it, push it. Come on, it's all you. It's all you.
Live from the iHub Radio Cardio Clubhouse, here's your fitness master, Ted Geiss.
Welcome to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geiss, and I'm in the iHub Radio Studios today. And we're talking all about your health and fitness for the next couple hours. Thanks for joining us. I'm in the studios today with Mr. John McMullen. Hey, McMullen.
Hello.
What's going on?
I just found out through an email that I got.
What?
That Baskin Robbins delivers.
Oh, my God.
And we can have a picture of you on a top of an ice cream cake delivered to us.
That would be so cool. I had no idea that they had that capability to deliver.
What is your ice cream flavor of choice?
Well, I have to admit, I'm a chocolate peanut butter guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. How about you?
Well, when it comes to their ice cream, and I haven't had it in so long, I can hardly remember.
Yeah.
But most of my life, pralines and cream.
Pralines and cream. Okay. That's a good choice. Yeah. I like to put my ice cream on Dave and Bill's cake that they give me every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah. So Baskin Robbins is an old name now.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's been around
really
for a long time.
It's been around for about 3 million years.
Do you ever get the ice cream in the Rite Aid stores?
No.
They have the ice cream dipping thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that in downtown
ice
Palm
cream
Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
People line up for it.
I have not gotten an ice cream cone there ever, I don't think.
Well, I have not either, and I think we're long overdue, John.
Leave the studio after the show and go get one.
Go get one.
Yeah. Then we'll have to work out at the gym for about 5 days.
You know, I worked out at the gym today myself.
You did?
Yes, I did. I was at EOS. Thank you, EOS, for giving us that outdoor option. It was busy, but it was all just wonderful, and I'm so grateful that we've had that option until our gym's open back up.
Are your gyms going to be reopening next week?
Well, that's the word on the street. Don't quote me on that, but that's the word on the street. We are looking for numbers coming out, and I'm not sure if they report numbers corona
today.
Yeah,
I think so.
So I think we'll have a better path forward after today, and we're waiting for Governor Newsom to issue some sort of statement about that in particular. Gyms reopening, because I know that there was
there's been a substantial decline in the number of cases and the number of beds in hospitals that are occupied and things like that. So things are trending in the right direction, but
they certainly are.
You know, I know you're going to have Roman Choi on the show later today, and maybe he can speak a little more to this because he's on the front lines fighting this with doing all of the vaccinations. But as one astute television commentator said last night on her program, we're still at over 2,000 people a day dying and at over 60,000 people a day getting infected.
While
we're definitely on the drive down from the peaks that we had just the week after Christmas and New Year's, it's still a lot of people who are impacted by this.
We are intoxicated by those falling numbers, but we're nowhere where we need to be, right?
People need to get on board with doing what they have to do,
exactly,
which is staying socially distant and washing the hands and keeping not one, but in most cases, two masks now because we have these super strains.
Right.
To keep the virus at bay.
Doesn't California have its own variant now or something? Is that what I've
read? So I hear.
Yeah, I mean, freaky, huh?
Yeah.
So we got to stay one step ahead of this, and I think that lady has sung already, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the fat lady?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I was going to say the Rubenesque woman. Yeah. How was that? Okay.
I'm surprised that as a trainer you want to go there. I mean, it would seem to me that you'd be calling people out for their fattiness.
No, no, just the opposite. We don't do that. We embrace, you know, everybody's body style is different. And you know, people, people with obesity, you
like
know, they
me.
Just, they well, you know, they deserve to be embraced and acknowledged and accepted and supported and loved just like the rest of us, right? You know, I remember a few times in the gym, and it just makes my blood boil when I'll hear somebody who happens to be fit, or maybe they don't even, but they'll make some off-color remark about someone who has obesity. And it's so unfair. They don't know this person. They've judged this whole person by their looks and right. their bias against people who weigh more than they do. Right. And so one of the things,
let's talk about that, because that's something that I think keeps a lot of people from taking the first step to go to the gym.
You bet.
I know that even, you know, I have not been in a gym since before the virus started, I guess.
Just a little before, right?
Just a little bit before. And even knowing that I took the first step already and I went in and things were fine and that I'm okay with being in that environment and doing what I've got to do for me, it's going to be hard again to go into that environment because I'm so used to thinking about what are other people thinking.
Right.
And
right.
when you have that locked and loaded in your head, it's a pretty potent potion.
Yeah, it is.
To poison yourself with.
Yeah.
And how do you work with really helping bring, as a trainer, how do you work with really helping bring a person who is stuck in that place over the edge and getting them in there to feel like they're making an accomplishment?
That's an excellent question. You know, it is not a one size fits all answer either, because everybody has their own unique experience and how they've dealt with it. I know that all it takes is for one person to make some comment that is derogatory, and then the person with obesity and oftentimes will think everybody is saying that sort of thing about him or her or they. And of course, we know on the outside that's not true, but they've got that that dagger to them. And it's very painful. And I wish more people, it's almost automatic for some people to say things like, "Oh, you fat slob," rather than, "Oh, you're wrong." Or they'll go there first. And I don't know why we have that as a society. We have such a stigma.
Could I make a recommendation?
Certainly.
That gym owners and managers who work for chain gyms,
right,
that they have set policies at the time that a person initiates their membership with a club. Mm-hmm. That say that you could lose your membership in that club if you're caught saying anything derogatory to another member.
Right.
Because it would seem to me that it would be in their interest to show that the gym or the management or the ownership of a gym is in that mindset and is thinking about the overall, both the physical and the mental welfare of a gym goer.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. Let's do the Biden method. Is if I hear you talk down to anybody or disrespect them or be mean to them, you're out of here.
Right.
Right. I think that's a great idea. And you know,
I think if people think that the gym is being proactive on that front, Ted,
right,
that they're going to feel an extra layer of personal safety in that environment,
and they'll be more drawn to come. They'll be more motivated to come, and knowing that they can be safe and free. And you know, the way that I approach it is different with everybody. But here's one basic thing: we talk about exactly that stigma right up off the bat, and I ask them if they've experienced any stigma, you know, any blowback, any harsh words, any hurt in the past about that. And so we talk about that and how we're actually going to deal with it. And I don't take away their fear, but I help them to walk through it with me. And
could you give me an example?
Yeah, I worked with a gentleman who had obesity, and this was his first venture out, and we literally had to start. And he had been heavy most of his adult life, a star athlete hockey player back in the day in college, and then everything kind of went south for him physically. He had some physical problems, and he gained a lot of weight, and so he really took a beating himself from other people, and he took that, and he beat himself up for years, and it was heartbreaking. And literally what we had to do is make it comfortable for him no matter what. It was a big step for him to come in and hire a trainer, a big step to come into the gym. I mean, talk about the courage, because he's felt like he's just this nobody and not worth anything and a bad person because he has obesity. So we have to make a safe environment. So it started out literally, we would talk for 15 minutes of the session beforehand, just to kind of get things right. Anything going on today we need to know about? Are you nervous about anything in particular? And then we would walk along the outside of the building, the outer walls, to get to the aerobics room, which was not in session during his time. And I would keep the lights off, and we would go in there and exercise. And that's how we started. And it took about 3.5 months, but eventually we got out on the gym floor together. And it was just little steps to keep it safe, to keep it reasonable for him. The worst thing I think I can hear a trainer do is to deny somebody their feelings and their experience by saying, oh, no, just come on. You know, it's not that easy. You don't just throw people out on the gym floor who are very self-conscious, who have been hurt. So you have to learn how to embrace them and appreciate and honor their experience and work with that rather than try to change them right away.
Because once they start to see, I know that this is how it is for me. Mm-hmm. When I start to see changes in myself from the work that I'm doing with weights, or, you know, from doing, you know, the bike riding or whatever,
right,
that then I become more not just comfortable, but I guess I'm more likely to be confident with my presence and how much I want to go there.
Certainly as well. Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing to see the changes. That's a big boost. You know, along the way too is it's important to not just focus on the physical outcome and the physical looks of it. I try to talk to people, yes, that's going to be a great benefit. You're going to love it. You're going to be healthier for it. But we also talk about how they're feeling inside all the time. That's got to be as important as the physical part of this, is to talk about how they're feeling, what's going on for them that day, and how can we work with that today to get you a good workout. So we'll talk more about that in the next segment. We're also going to talk about this grim milestone. Half a million Americans dead. Yeah.
Wow.
And what Dr. Fauci has to say about it. And we're going to talk about your sleep habits after that. And we're going to talk to Roman Troy, too. So don't go anywhere. We've got lots more coming up on A Good Fit. I'm Ted Geisen with John McMullen. And this is iHub Radio.
If you've just finished up with leg day, take a load off. Ted's not going to know you're sitting there listening.
Rough weekend?
Well, unless, of course, you join in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
In which case, give your digits a workout and call the fitness master himself.
Okay, well, I will give a call.
760-544-8255. That's 760-544-TALK.
I want to hear what you think.
Or if you're afraid he's going to hear you making popcorn in the background, just send a text.
No argument there.
760-699-0202. That's 760-699-0202.
Hello, flabby, out-of-shape family. Check out my bulging rippliness.
Fresh off doing burpees, here's Ted Geisen with more of A Good Fit on iHub Radio.
Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit here on iHub Radio on the iHub Network. I am Ted Geis, and we're talking all about your health and fitness today on this two-hour health and fitness talk radio show. Yep, and I'm in the studios with John McMullen today. Hi, John. We were just talking about, the emotional side of working out and getting in the gym for the first time, especially if you...
I would imagine that there are other people who feel the same way I do about going back when it was still a relatively, I don't want to say brand new, but new experience when I got into it this last time for several months.
Sure.
And then having COVID hit, you put a little weight on,
right,
things like that, and you see yourself having gone backwards. You know you need to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are sometimes some of these mental blocks that keep some of us from jumping right in. And every day you're saying, I need to start doing this again or that again.
Right.
And every day goes by and you're like, oh, maybe tomorrow. And then maybe tomorrow. And like, you got to get over that hump.
My experience with people is just exactly that, too. It may be harder for a person who's gone in before and had some success and then seen that success eroded during pandemic by gaining some weight or going back into some not-so-healthy habits. I think that those people tend to beat themselves up maybe even a little more because they know what they know now. They know that they have a solution, and they know that and so it's kind of like a... maybe an alcoholic or an addict, and once they've had some sobriety and then they might have a slip, it's hard for those people to come back because they feel like maybe they failed. And
yeah, they feel the power of the failure.
Exactly.
Again. It was hard for me. Now, I had a surgical thing happen too.
Yep, you did.
But it's hard for me having lost, a year ago, like 50 pounds.
Right.
And to see all but about 14 of it back on my waist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that does take its toll. And you have to, those are one of those things that it's easy to say. You have to accept that was then and deal with right now when you're talking to somebody who's not in that position. So I think empathy rather than...
It's also hard when somebody realizes and starts counting up. I think I probably lost 750 pounds in my life.
Certainly. Yeah, and your story is not uncommon. I mean, we had Henry Doring on who had gastric sleeve surgery.
Right.
And that's exactly what he said. He said he kept losing the same 150 pounds over and over. So I think that's a real issue that has to be dealt with. And people need... our empathy and support. They don't need us to fix it for them. Sometimes I get people coming in the gym and they're really looking for me to fix it. And I have to explain to them, I can't do this for you. I can help you. I can support you. I can offer suggestions.
What, you mean you can't go to the gym and do all that working out and have it show up off of me?
Right. No, it doesn't work that way. Nor will it happen if you don't follow and take suggestions that you're given. If you still continue to do things the old way and just come to the gym three times a week for an hour, that ain't going to cut it, right? So it really is a big lifestyle change for a lot of people. And I think people with obesity, the challenge obviously is greater for them. And I think we have to appreciate that and take it, take one step at a time, just like any other recovery program. You take it one day at a time, one step at a time, new thing at a time. I started to tell you about the gentleman who started out in the dark in the aerobics room. Now, because we got out on the gym floor didn't mean that he was all of a sudden unafraid or had no fear or no self-consciousness. But what he learned to do is to walk through that so we could start to work out on the gym floor. He knew how important that was.
Yeah.
So a lot of this is reminding ourselves about what is the big picture here. Am I willing to be uncomfortable today so I can be more comfortable later on? And those are the kind of questions I try to ask my clients saying these are the tools we have at our disposal today. And if you're willing to go through some uncomfortable periods, you're gonna be able to come out on the other side feeling better about yourself, being healthier, looking better, having probably increased self-esteem. There's so many benefits. So we always want to keep those in mind. And it takes a lot of daily reminders, not just, you know, at the start of your first session, say, hey, it's going to be great. You just watch and see. That's that has to be said a lot. And solution, working in the solution rather than staying in the problem is so important. That sort of thinking, which I'll talk more about later. It's easy for us to beat ourselves up and just sit in the misery of that. So
right. We
work towards working in the solution. And we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about our 500,000 dead. Unfortunately, that grim milestone, sleep habits. Maybe you've got some heart problems. We're going to talk to Roman Troy for a few minutes first from Sonoma County. Don't go anywhere. This is iHub Radio, a good fit. And I'm Ted Geisen with John McMullen.
Fitness. It's not a four-letter word.
Okay, slight major exaggeration.
If that's what you're looking for, well, you could try carb.
Will you guys quiet down? I'm trying to concentrate on my cardio.
Or maybe lazy.
Man, we're cooking today.
But hey, we're not here to shame anyone.
Your hippie partner is somebody you can vent all your emotional problems to.
Whether you're 18 or 80, a good fit with Ted Geisen is your weekly dose of inspiration and advice to get your fit on.
This morning I was brushing my teeth and I saw a muscle in my arm for the first time.
Congratulations.
Here's iHub Radio Fitness Master, Ted Geisen.
Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geisen. Thanks so much for joining us here today for A Good Fit. 2 hours of health and fitness talk radio. I'm in the studios today with Mr. John McMullen. How you doing, John?
Good, thank you.
All right.
You have a guest.
We do have a guest, and I'm glad to have him return, Mr. Roman Troy, emergency medical technician up there. And Roman and I have known each other for a few years now, and he became an EMT not long ago, and he's doing something pretty exciting and pretty interesting. He's on the front lines of the mass vaccination programs currently happening all across the country, but Roman is deployed up to Sonoma County. Hi, Roman.
Hey, Ted. How are you?
Good. It's nice to have you back. Hey.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for checking in with me and keeping me informed. What's going on up there? What's your day like? Just give us a quick rundown of what your day's like.
Well, you know, up here they have organized it in two separate ways, as in, mm-hmm. in most counties. Which is they have the FEMA-run sites and the state-run sites. So basically, the state-run sites are experiencing some of the shortages that you're seeing on the news, and they're having to open and close based on availability of the vaccine.
Gotcha.
With the FEMA sites, they are remaining open at this point. We don't see any closures in the foreseeable future based on the fact that the supply of vaccine is still constant for us. So I'm working for the FEMA sites, which are throughout the county. There are six in Sonoma alone, and I'm working between the two, one in Guerneville, which is the Russian River,
right,
and one in Santa Rosa.
How many vaccinations are you able to do in a day now that you've ramped up a little bit? I know you started out with about 250 a day. What's the numbers this week?
Yeah, what they're trying to get up to at the Santa Rosa site is we're just under 500 now a day.
I see.
The Guerneville site is around 2. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so low in the Guerneville area is because it's not a densely populated area.
Right. Yeah. And are wait times long? What should people expect when they're at this?
No, not at all. They have it really well organized, Ted. So mm-hmm. what they do is people are, like everywhere else, they're making their appointments online. Every 15 minutes is a scheduled appointment, and then people are pretty anxious to show up. Most of the time they show up early and we can accommodate them, but for the most part, everybody's showing up on time.
And up there, is the age thing still over 65?
Sonoma County opened up to 65 and above just yesterday on Monday.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. And you told me earlier that you had quite a lady show up today. She was how old?
Yeah, she was 100 years old.
Wow. And this
was quite a beautiful lady.
Second vaccination shot?
her second vaccination today. Okay. So when I spoke with her, I didn't actually give her her vaccination myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to escort her to her car.
Oh.
She was not frail at all. She was quite lively.
Right.
And she looked at me and said, you know, I'm 100. And I said, really? I was really surprised. And she said, yes. And I said, well, how was your vaccination today? And she says, I'm looking forward to seeing 101.
Wow, isn't that great? I'm so glad to hear that. What a nice story. Hey, are you noticing
so,
any...
So heads up to Ruth G. out there.
Ruth
Hopefully she'll get a chance to hear this program.
I hope so, too.
Because I did mention to her that I would mention her name. I can't mention her last name for reasons. But
it's all that wine.
It's all that wine, yeah.
Yes.
That's it. Hey, are people, anybody with the second dose, I know that you have them in a area after they receive their vaccine. Has anybody experienced anything weird, side effect or anything like that?
You know, for second dose, mm-hmm. the side effects typically come on right away.
Right.
And if they do have any, they're typically experiencing a slight fever, chills for a day or so, nothing more than that.
Okay.
The only responses we're looking for when we put them in the observation area are immediate anaphylactic or responses that would immediately take place if they have an allergy to any of the components of the drug.
Right. And now, are you distributing Moderna, Pfizer, or both?
At this point, Pfizer.
Pfizer, okay. Huh.
Yes.
And how long do you anticipate being up there, Roman?
2 months, Ted.
2 months. And do you see yourself coming back down here into our area to further, or do you think most of it will be done by then?
Well, basically, it's really up to two things, the availability and constant flow of the vaccine, because the president's issue here is he wants most of the United States vaccinated, or at least 80% by a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
And so the push is to vaccinate each county to an 80% margin, or as close as we can get to that. So if we're not hitting our mark by the end of 2 months, our contracts will be extended and we will stay.
Do you have any idea, has anybody talked to you about how those things look here in Riverside County?
You know, I haven't at this point. Riverside County isn't something that I've paid attention to. I've been watching the local news, which is Northern California and Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I have noticed that some of the state sites there, the largest one in San Francisco, Moscone Center, closed on Monday due to a shortage.
That's why I asked,
You know, that's been really problematic, because then people start looking to the FEMA organized sites, which then become, you know, very difficult. And it's a very frustrating thing for everybody.
Certainly. I imagine most people are in good spirits about it, though.
You know, the lovely people up here, so kind. Everyone's so happy.
Good.
Had a guy arrived today in a 1926 Cadillac who said he wanted to celebrate.
Yeah, I bet
so
he did.
He pulled his precious 26 Cadillac out of the garage and drove it down here. I'll send you the video later.
Right on. I've had more than one person tell me what a sense of relief it is, more so than they thought it would be, to get that second vaccine, even the first. So you're hearing that in your feedback you get up there, huh?
Especially with the elderly crowd,
right.
At this point, the sense of relief has been overwhelming. Some people are just so grateful. Most of them are so grateful, but just the overall sense of relief has been something that everybody expresses when they get here.
Right on. Hey, Roman, thank you so much for checking in with us. We sure appreciate it, and we appreciate your hard work on the front lines. We want to get you home as soon as we can, but we know you're doing the right job up there for us. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm very fortunate to be in this part of the country, Ted, so thank you very much.
All right.
I'll keep in touch, and we'll speak soon.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Wow, that's great to hear. You know, he's really up there getting it done. So, and a 100-year-old lady. I mean, that's, you know, I'm glad she's looking forward to seeing 101. So, hey, you know, today after my show, Jocelyn Kane's on again, right?
Yep.
And her guest today is Sarah Nafak of Coachillin. I like that.
Coachillin.
Yeah. They discuss issues on The Buzz. That's Jocelyn's show coming up here at 3 p.m. right after A Good Fit here on the iHub network. And human resources is what they're talking about today in the cannabis business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have unique issues, I think, probably with employees who work for dispensaries and and the companies that manufacture pot products and things like that. So
I would imagine that's a whole other thing. And I thought bars were complicated to run in that respect, but
right.
You know, okay, that's coming up at 3 p.m. The Buzz right here on iHub Network. Okay, that's later. So anyway, we were talking about the emotional ramifications coming back to the gym, and I just want to finish up on that. I want to, you know, I work with an amazing group of trainers who are, I can say I don't know one of them in there who is not on board with support and empathy and embracing people with obesity or people who are just getting to the gym for the first time. And I'll tell you, it should take you, if you are interviewing interviewing trainers, I think one of the most important things you can ask them is their views on obesity and how they handle that with clients and what sort of support do they have in place. Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions of your trainer when you're interviewing or anybody in a gym that you're having to deal with. I think those are important questions to be answered, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having the answers to those, okay? And if you don't like what you hear, say, thanks very much. I think I'm going to go another direction, okay? Until you find a trainer who fits for you and feels right, because you're going to spend a lot of intimate time with that person. And even though you think you're just there to work out, you're there to basically change your life. And that sounds big because it is. It's a big deal to have the courage and the wherewithal and the energy and the time and the money and the effort to change your life. But it's a change I guarantee you will be worthwhile. So good for you. So that's what I want to say about that. Next coming up, I want to talk to you about this unfortunate grim milestone that we have just reached and what Dr. Fauci has to say about it. And that is, sadly, 500,000, over 500,000, a half a million of our fellow Americans are dead of COVID-19, the coronavirus. And that's a number that a year ago, this time, I among us thought, nah, we'll never see that. We'll get a handle on this. you know, it's not as bad as we thought, blah, blah, blah. And it was worse than we thought. And here we are at over 500,000 Americans' lives lost. We have recorded over 28 million COVID-19 cases as of Monday afternoon. And that, folks, is the worst record in the world. We carry that distinction. The pandemic arrived in the United States as the country was, we were just being wrecked apart by political divisions, and at a time when wearing a mask became a political statement rather than a public health measure. And that was a major misstep. We did not have the support in the Trump administration, frankly, to make it any other way. They politicized masks and they screwed up. There's no doubt about that. Even under the best of circumstances, this COVID-19, it would have been a really serious problem, right? But Dr. Fauci says, noting that despite strong adherence to public health measures, countries such as Germany and the UK struggled with the virus, right? So everybody was going to struggle this. But that doesn't explain, he says, how a rich and sophisticated country can have the most percentage of deaths and be the hardest hit country in the world. Okay? He believes that no way should have ever happened. And I have to agree with him. So while the United States has just about 4%, get this, the United States has just about 4% of the entire global population, we have recorded nearly 20% of all COVID-19 deaths. And that is shocking and shameful. And we all know it could have been prevented, could have gone another way. We'll talk a little bit more about that and what Dr. Fauci has more to say about it and what we should be doing, especially with gyms getting ready to open back up and things easing up a little bit numbers-wise. We can't rest on our laurels. Can't relax quite yet, folks. We'll talk more about that. All coming up in our next segment. I'm Ted Geis here on A Good Fit in the studios with Mr. John McMullen, and this is iHub Radio.
If you had Applejacks or Flapjacks this morning, it might be time to think seriously about jumping jacks.
Burn!
This is where the Coachella Valley comes to talk about fitness and nutrition.
I hope you like turkey, because that's what we're having.
So, whether you're a gym bunny...
That gym is so gay, they only have a back door.
...or you don't know jack shit about getting or staying fit...
Here's the deal.
The fitness master loves everyone all the same.
I think that's the way to do it.
iHub Radio presents A Good Fit with Ted Geis.
When you walk into a room erect... You say, here I am, deal with it.
Could you stop flexing and posing and pull the microphone your way and do the show? Attaboy.
Here I am, deal with it.
Deal with it. And there's another word you say after that. Deal with it, biatch. Yeah, okay. Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit. That was the lovely and talented in a hirsute John McMullen there. And we were just flexing and posing together here in the studios. It's what we do. Hey, John, we were talking about, you know, this grim milestone, and I don't want to hammer this, but it's so important that people know that we need to be vigilant, like you said earlier in the program, and not let our guard down.
What I'm afraid of is that people think that the shot that Roman is giving hundreds of people every day is the be-all, end-all solution, and
right.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah. And not until we have a massive number of people who are inoculated with this.
And that's going to be a while.
It is. And that's why Anthony Fauci said earlier this past, I think it was yesterday or over the weekend, that he made the pronouncement that unfortunately he thinks most Americans are going to have to get used to wearing masks into 2022.
Yeah. I would not doubt that, because, you know, and we've got some, I'm going with Fauci on this one, you know, we've got a couple of doctors that have put PRs out there, or statements out there that saying, oh, they think that we'll have herd immunity by April or May. And, you know, Dr. Fauci's not so sure about that. And so I'm going to go with him.
Well, as the leading expert on infectious diseases in this country for the last 25 years or more, I think you have to listen to him.
I think you do, too. And the guy can admit, if he's ever made a mistake, he can admit when he's been wrong. And most of the time, he's right. So I'm going with him, you know, rather than some guy that's a ear, nose, and throat doctor or something.
Right.
So he continued, you know, Dr. Fauci said, this is the worst thing that's happened to this country with regard to the health of a nation in over 100 years. And, of course, we know the last one was the great flu pandemic of 1918, right? Fauci said, adding that decades from now, people will be talking about that horrible year of 2020 and maybe 2021. Definitely, because we had our deadliest year in January of 2021, our deadliest month. So, you know, he was the poor guy. He was at odds with the Trump administration most of the time. Trump at times even attacked Fauci's credibility, undermining his message out there to people who follow Trump. And that was a big disservice. And it's led to a lot of more deaths.
And look how many, I mean, on a per capita basis, look how many people attended the rallies that the former president held prior to the election.
Yeah.
And how many people who attended those got sick.
Right, exactly.
And some who died.
Exactly.
Sadly.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So
I thought it was really telling on Monday night when President Biden held a ceremony at the White House that basically was a national memorial for the 500,000 people whose lives have been lost. And the way that he talked about them is not being ordinary Americans, but extraordinary.
Exactly.
And that every life is unique and is important. And being able to talk about that from a place that you know he knows all too well about, certainly, having gone through first the loss of two of his children and his wife.
And his wife,
and then later losing his son.
Yep.
You know, no parent should have to bury their child.
The tone and sentiment and authenticity in his words were something we didn't get for the last 4 years. And it
brought tears to my eye.
Yeah, yeah. It was a tearjerker. So, you know, speaking of President Biden, Fauci and Biden have said that the United States should return to something approaching pre-pandemic normal life around Christmas time. That's almost 2022, okay? That could change, though, he cautioned. The variants also change the equation when it comes to herd immunity. So, you know, there's a lot of things in play. And that's in which a population becomes protected from infection because of high levels of immunity from vaccines or infections. Asked whether that is still achievable, Dr. Fauci ended it by saying, I think we can get herd immunity at least against getting sick. Okay? So that doesn't say... that doesn't say against transferring the virus from person. It means that we could stop getting as sick from it. Okay, so that's enough on that. And I just wanted to acknowledge that milestone and echo Dr. or President Biden's words about, you know, these people, everybody's lives were changed, not just the people who died, the people who loved them. Yeah. And so this was a bitter pill, basically, for our entire society and country and world at large. So, All right, enough of that. I'm going to come back with you. We're going to talk about why good sleep is so important and the 8 ways that you can get better sleep. If you're having trouble sleeping, that's a big deal. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to also talk about, you know, we talked about a couple of shows ago about the connection between your mental health and heart disease. So we're going to get a little bit more into that, but we're going to give you a bunch of signs about, and some of them are very subtle, but they're serious signs that you may have a heart problem or heart disease. Okay. And that's coming up. We're also going to talk, much like we've been talking about earlier here, we're going to get more into specifics of mental fitness and why that's so important, that your mental health be fit as well, okay?
I imagine that we're going to be, for those who are following the national news today, and the story out of Los Angeles about Tiger Woods, that we will probably have the latest on that on the NBC Top of the Hour news.
Oh, Top of the Hour news, that's right.
Because he did have to go into surgery after a serious car accident today.
Really?
And they're reporting that the jaws of life did not have to be used to extricate him, but it was a very serious rollover accident in Los Angeles today that has threatened the life of the golfing great.
Oh, right. I wonder if he was driving or if somebody else was driving him. Huh. All right. Well, we'll get more about that, too. We're also going to talk later on the next hour of A Good Fit. We're going to talk about your balance. All right. And 7 tips to have better balance. Balance is so important going forward, especially if you're, you know, 60, 70, 80s. We all talk about balance. Oh, I don't want to fall down. I don't want to do this. Or if you've got other physical challenges, we're going to talk about the importance of balance. We're also going to talk in the next hour about carbohydrates again. They're everywhere. What can you do about it? Don't be afraid. You just have to know what you're doing with them, okay? That's all in the next hour coming up here. Hey, you're listening to A Good Fit. I'm Ted Geis in with John McMullen, and this is iHub Radio.